Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Dan from Vancouver, Washington. And we're going to start with a song from Psalms 119, verse 9.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all of my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes,
teach me your statutes,
teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all of the ordinances of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies, as much as in the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes, I shall not forget your word. Oh, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all of my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Do not let me wander from your commandments.
You know, it's an interesting thing to note about this. This song begins with the foundations and ends with the foundations. That word, by keeping, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your logo, your image. In the Hebrew, it's devar, but you'll find that that word is used interchangeably by quotes into the New Testament, where you'll see devar in the place of logo. And I shall not forget your, it ends with, I shall not forget your foundation. So here we have 12 men walking with Jesus 3 years, 3.5 years to be precise, not only walking with him, seeing how he treated everybody, not just 5 days, 5 hours a day, but all day long, every day, even more than you're with your parents. He was with them as a parent. Jesus was with the disciples. And then once in a while, they would get him alone and he would answer their questions intimately, talk about details. And the last thing we talked about or saw, read, in the last context, he was talking about them getting along with each other, with their brothers, wasn't he? And how important that is. And it could even mean their salvation, how we treat each other. We can't just walk away from a situation. We have to resolve it. We have to resolve. And we don't have to make the other person, but we have to be willing to resolve it. Each one of us has to look at themselves. Am I willing to resolve this? And make sure that you are. And not that you win the argument, but maybe there's something you have to change. Are you willing to be like a stone in a tumbler, where all the stones polish, rub on each other and polish? We can't be too hard, where we don't listen to one another and maybe crack a few stones because we're so hard, or be too soft where we get crushed. Are we willing to, until we become this beautiful, like, let's say, turquoise? Turquoise is a very pretty, I think it's a semi-precious stone. And the way they polish it is by putting it in a tumbler and them rubbing against each other and smoothing out the rough parts in our lives. So when Jesus had finished all these devar, or logo, in Matthew 19, he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and large crowds followed him, and he healed them. Let's read this next one, but we're going to get some religious folks in here. And now they're coming to the Creator. They're coming to the person who the Bible came hot off his lips, and they're going to receive him, or are they going to try to mess with him? So we're going to read verse 3 to verse 12.
And Pharisees came to him, trying him, and saying, "Whether is it lawful to put away one's wife for every cause?" And he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'"
Now, wait a second. Are they going to believe what he just says, or are they going to present an argument? What are the Pharisees going to believe what Jesus is saying, or are they going to argue? What do you think?
So he started out telling them, the Pharisees started out telling him what God said.
Okay.
They're telling him what God said.
You ever heard somebody do that, use somebody else's words in an argument?
They use the Bible. They use the Bible.
Or some people might say, "Well, Andy said," or
yes.
"Dan said." You ever heard that happen? They use other people. But go ahead.
They keep quoting, "What therefore God hath yoked together, let not man put asunder." They say to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a bill of divorce and to put away?"
See, there you go. He's going to use Moses above the Creator. They're going to give the Creator, who is over Moses, and they're going to use and try to use Moses over him.
Name drop.
This is the ultimate stupid name dropping, if you ever saw it. You're talking to the Creator, and you throw Moses at him. What in the world were they thinking of?
It's doing the famous, "It says this over here."
Right.
It's refuting, it's conflicting with itself. That's what they're saying. He says to them, "Moses, for your hardness of heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been thus. And I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery." The disciples say to him, "If the case of the man is thus with the woman, it is not expedient to marry." But he said to them, "Not all receive this saying, but that they to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who were thus born from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Who is able to receive, let him receive it."
Where did you say the disciples said to him?
11.
Verse 10.
Or 10.
Oh, there it is. Right.
So they jumped in that conversation.
They did. Jumped in that.
I never
going,
saw that.
They're before. Listening and they're going, "Wait a minute, I want to know this."
That really caught my ear.
Me too.
We did caught mine too when I read it.
Yeah.
I was like, caught more in my ear. I'm like, what?
Why have I read this for 52 years and all of a sudden, isn't it funny how this layers? All of a sudden, then they jump in the middle. It's not just the crowds, but the disciples. They get involved in
this. Well, it got them spinning.
Yeah.
The fact that the Pharisees used Moses got the disciples spinning, and they still, "Wait a minute, let me ask you a question." And the Pharisees are, they're over here, and he's answering the disciples' questions.
I'm going to be real straightforward. Are these Pharisees from God or from Satan? Who are they really ministers of?
Well, they're sons of him. They're sons of the devil. Yeah.
They're using his tactics.
They weren't for God.
And these are the pastors, the ministers, the teachers you see on TV today. There's two classes of people. There's just people, and then there's these ministers that really don't know God. And I would say most today are this right here. And if Jesus were to come, I would wonder what they would have to say. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? But here they are, and they're basically, the disciples said to him, if the relationship of a man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry. And so they just gave up all hope in that. Like, they got caught up in it. It's very interesting. And then he goes into eunuchs. There's a promise to eunuchs that they will have actually, it maybe even indicates that they will have a better reward in eternal life than we might have. I don't know if you ever read that one, but there's an interesting statement about eunuchs, and some have made themselves that way. Some have actually made themselves that way for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And there's maybe some prisons full of men that maybe need to take care of some business. Anyway. Matthew 19:13-15.
Then children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After laying his hands on them, he departed from there.
So here you have the disciples kind of 50-50 in here. You know, they hear it and they get wound out of say, well, it's better not to marry. Well, Jesus wasn't saying that. But you can't say what they were saying is totally wrong, because maybe for some people it's better not to marry. But now look at his disciples are there, and it looks like the crowds haven't departed yet. And what would you rate the disciples' reaction in verse 13? They actually rebuked him.
They rebuked them. Yeah, they were like, leave him alone. He's too important for that.
What's that?
It's almost like they were saying, get the children away from him. He's too important for that.
Right. there's more important things like me.
Yeah.
There were people coming up with their kids and says, can he lay his hands on them? And they basically said, no.
Right.
He's busy.
So the kingdom of heaven, is that the kingdom of the heavens?
Yep.
I'll bet it is.
It is.
It sure is. I should have read it that way.
Yeah. Go ahead and read it that way.
I'll read the whole context again. Then children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of the heavens belongs to such as these."
By the way, that is in Panons, it's in the plural number.
Yeah.
Just because you're a disciple of Jesus, it doesn't mean you're going to always do things right. And it doesn't say the disciples as a whole. It looks like every one of them. It didn't leave one person out. It just says the disciples rebuked them.
Yeah, if it would have been one, it would have said Peter.
Yeah, but looks like the whole of them did that. Okay, 16 to 20. And do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, they were learning that one thing about little children that day.
Yeah.
It was Thursday. It was time for them to learn this.
Because children can be bothersome if you're grouchy. They can be bothersome, or if you can relax around them, they can be a lot of fun and they're very cute. But sometimes they're screaming and they're yelling, they're having fun. They might even bump into you, and if you're old and you're easily off balance, they can maybe even knock you off balance and knock you over where you could hurt yourself. And maybe you're just tired of the noise or whatever. And so I'm sure the kids weren't totally quiet.
It's actually, if you look at it, the disciples aren't rebuking the children.
Right.
They're rebuking the people who are bringing them.
Parents. Right. But I'm just saying,
don't bring kids around here.
Maybe it's because of the noise they want to hear. They want this. They're trying to set this atmosphere.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
You know what? We didn't separate children at our house. We let them come. When it was time for a prayer and communion, there were times, and we started changing our mind when we saw something. When they got to a certain age, we'd have them go into a bedroom because they couldn't stay up for prayer time, you know, during communion. But we noticed when we go to pick them up at night and take them home, they were all in the hallway, and they would sit in the hallway and where you couldn't see them and listen to everything that was going on, and they'd passed out in the middle of it. So we wondered if it wasn't better. So we kind of experimented if it wasn't better to let them, if they were old enough, and sometimes they would fall asleep right there in the communion later on at night. We'd let them just, as long as they kept quiet. And
that's the difference.
And that was the difference. We just watched, and we could see. This was years ago when Mike and Cheryl lived in Bremerton, Washington. And all of a sudden, here all the kids would be out, and you wouldn't hear a peep out of them. And almost it was kind of a neat experience. I'm glad we did it that way because we could see their earnestness to hear those songs and to hear that worship and so on. So we experimented with some different things. 16 through 22.
And lo, one came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why askest thou me concerning what is good? One is good, but if thou wouldest enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith to him, "Which?" And Jesus says, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith to him, "All these I have observed, what lack I yet?" Jesus said to him, "If thou wouldest be perfect, go sell what you hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in the heavens, and come here, follow me." But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he was one having great possessions.
So what did Jesus tell them to do? Wasn't he telling them, basically, if you look at all these, that he's telling them to keep the Ten Commandments?
Well, that's what he named.
Because honor your father and your mother, well, it's God.
Love your neighbors yourself.
I know all these look like the second tablet of stone, but
all of them are summed up in one.
Yeah, they're really summed up.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. I mean, he put that one.
But the God ones, the first tablet, those first five, what was the fifth one? Deuteronomy 5? Yes. There were five on each tablet. The first one, it looks like four, but honor your father and your mother, and who is your father and who is your mother? And remember when Jesus looked at all of them in Mark 3?
Those that hear the will of
your
God.
Mother. Yeah. So I still think that this is both tablets of stone.
Yeah.
That's the one I thought that it appears, you think it could appear to how we love mankind, but call no one father, honor your father.
Yeah, the last ones are definitely the second stone.
And your mother, yep. Look at this one right here.
Murder, adultery,
yeah.
Steal, I mean the right in order even.
Yeah. Look at number 21. So the new commandments that Jesus gave was change your mind and come and follow me. And he told them to give everything, sell his possessions, and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Do you think even that come and follow me stumbled him? It could have been it. Not everybody could walk with Ray. those 8, 10, 12 hours, 16 hours that he used to give to people at a time.
Well, he had great possessions. I'm sure he had a lot of responsibilities tied to those great possessions. You don't have time to go follow him.
And he was, grieving over that.
Those are tied up pretty tight together.
Yeah, they are.
Interesting, huh, when you think about it. Okay, 23 through 26.
And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of the heavens. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible."
Now I'm starting to get irritated here. What is Panons? Read verse 23 in Panons.
I am
getting irritated.
I was wondering when I read that. What?
And Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of the heavens."
You know what truly is just cold?
It nukes it.
And what it really says in the Hebrew, as a nursing father, I'm the father.
I'm going to say this to you.
Amen. The root word of amen. A nursing father is talking. Somebody that just doesn't give you orders. Somebody that wants the absolute best for you. Something that's going to die for you in a few years to make sure it happens to you. I'm going to die for you. That's Jesus. And so Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going to take care of my part of this. You need to take care of your part." He told that rich guy above, "I'm going to do my part, but you have to sell all you have," which you're going to lose it all anyway when you're not here anymore, "and just come and follow me forever. And you'll have riches beyond measure, and you'll have makariosness beyond measure. You'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory." And Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say unto you, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of the heavens," right?
We not only told him to sell his stuff, he said, "Give it away. Sell it all and give it to the poor." Now he's doubling up on him. But you don't get to keep a bank account. He could have just sold it all, kept in the bank, left.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, give it away. Now you just are not anything anymore.
But come and follow me.
But come
leave all your comfy bed at home.
Everything.
Leave all that behind and come have a better life. Actually have a better life.
Have treasure in the heavens.
And in the end, have what is eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things that God has stored up for those who fear him. By the way, it is the kingdom of the heavens in verse 23. It's plural. It's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of the heavens, according to Stiganga. That's plural again. And it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And the eye of a needle was a hole in the wall to keep marauders from coming in on horseback or on by camels. And so they had to get down, and the camel had to get down and scoochie down and had to take all the stuff off his back. And they had to scoochie him through this small opening, and they can get him in there. And it's called the eye of the needle. And so it's just going to take some humility and leaving all the packs off your back to enter into this, all the burdens.
Just enough room to get you through.
Just you.
So for this rich man, it was selling all of his stuff, giving it to the poor, and following Jesus. And he'd come right on in.
Yep. If he'd got down on his knees, taking the pack off his back.
Come right on in.
Called eternal life.
Yeah. Exactly.
And riches beyond measure. With people, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Who can be saved?
And it said he was sorrowful, so he had the wrong kind of sorrow. He had the sorrow towards the world.
Yeah. Sorrow of the world?
Is death.
Sorrow of the world is death, but godly sorrow
is life and peace.
Life and peace. So let's try to get another one done here in 20. The context is 19:27 through 20, 16. You want to keep reading there, Andy?
Yeah. Then answered Peter and said to him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? And Jesus said to them, Amen, I say unto you.
Oh, there's that amen. I'm glad you read it out of Panins. So I wouldn't get irritated. start again.
Okay, he got mad at me, but not you. Okay.
And Jesus said to them.
Then answered Peter and said to him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What shall we have? And Jesus said to them, Amen, I say unto you, that ye have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory. You also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields, for my name's sake, shall receive manifold, and shall inherit eternal life. But many first shall be last, and the last first. For the kingdom of the heavens is like a man, a householder, who went out with the dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a shilling a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing in the market idle. And to those he said, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went away. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th he went out, and found others standing, and saith to them, Why stand ye here all day idle? They say to him, Because no one has hired us. He said to them, Go you also into the vineyard. And when even is come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, Call the laborers and pay their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, they received each a shilling. And when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they received each a shilling. And when they received it, they murmured against the householders, saying, These last have wrought 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he answered and said to one of them, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a shilling? Take up what is thine and go. But to the last I will give to him even as unto thee. Is it not meet for me to do with what I will with mine? Or is thine eye evil because I am good? Thus the last shall be first, and the first last.
I don't know if I want to go into detail on that. Does anybody have any quick thoughts about that? Just an overview of that. Apparently, we're going to have to work. Some people say, we're not to do any works, but the word work is erg. It's energy. You have to put out energy to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Says not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of the heavens, but he that does the will of the Father does twofold the will of the Father. They will enter in, the ones that do God's will.
I've always wondered if in chapter 20 here, if it doesn't mean that people who were saved 10 years ago aren't any more saved than people who are saved yesterday.
It means
they're all saved.
Life
it's the same salvation. Yeah. It's the same wages.
Yeah. Yeah. Same wages, all of us. Because who really did all the work anyway? We're coming to an end here. We'll see you again tomorrow. And thank you for joining us. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."